Good morning, all. As we continue with the sermon series, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it can be found on page 1198 if you're using the Church Bible. I'll be reading from verses 8 until verses 13. Timothy chapter 2, starting from verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is the word of the Lord.
My name is David. It's a pleasure to bring you the word this morning. You won't be able to see it, but I have a scar on my finger. When I was a little over one, a giant African rabbit bit me. It's true, it was bigger than I. Presumably, I wanted to pat the thing, and so I unwisely stuck my finger inside the cage. And I remember the blood. I remember the pain. It's funny that that's the only memory I have of the first 2 years of my life in Tanzania. The only memory I have is of this cursed rabbit. It's funny the things that we remember. It's funny the things that we forget. Often we remember the most significant moments in our life, the most painful ones, the most influential ones, the most emotionally intense moments. Yet we remember a whole lot of other things as well. And it's strange, those things that can trigger those memories. Every summer, I used to unzip my cricket bag and pull out my unwashed whites from the season before, and the smell that would waft through the house triggered happy memories. Not so happy for my mother and then my poor wife. A dry, dusty summer wind takes me back to childhood visits to my grandparents' farm. That beautiful hymn, Rock of Ages, triggers memories of my little niece, who only lived for a few short hours. Memories are powerful. They have the power to frighten and to comfort. And they have the power to throw us into despair and yet inspire us. Memories, even distant memories, can powerfully impact our lives presently. I'm a little more reluctant to pat rabbits these days. So much of our lives depend on our memory. And yet, we cannot remember everything. We live in a world in which the entire mass of human knowledge is doubling every 12 months. Until about 1900, it was doubling every century. After World War II, it was doubling every 25 years. Presently, it is doubling every 12 months, with predictions that there will come a time when the entire mass of human knowledge will double every 12 hours. Are you overwhelmed? I am. I mean, I can hardly remember where I put my keys. My wallet, my phone. None of us can expect to remember everything. And so I suspect everyone faces some version of this question. What is worth committing to memory, and what can I afford to forget? Given the information overload we experience on TV, in our workplaces, in our classrooms, what can we filter out so as to remember the really important things? As a student, I'm constantly asking myself, what ought I commit to memory and what can I afford to forget? In his letter to Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to remember certain things. Our text begins today, remember Jesus Christ, descended from David. And this morning, I just want to ask why. Why remember Jesus Christ, descended from David? And my answer, Paul's answer, will be because, one, it allows us to endure life now, and two, it will assure us of enjoying the life to come. There is, I think, an outline on the back of your handouts, which you might find helpful. Remembering helps us endure life now. Read with me verses 8 to 10 again. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Read with me verses 8 to 10. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. There is something about remembering Christ that means Paul endures his present troubles. As you know, Paul is writing to Timothy from prison. Things aren't exactly looking up for Paul, and things aren't easy for Timothy either. His ministry was hard going. Yet, he will endure if he remembers. If he remembers Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And this in turn inevitably will remind him of the salvation he has, eternal glory. See, that's what remembering Jesus Christ does. If you're a Christian, if you remember Christ, you ought also remember the salvation in which he has secured for you. Paul remembers what Christ achieved on the cross and inevitably also what Christ endured on the cross. A significant part of Paul's endurance is his remembering of Christ's endurance. Christ himself endured unimaginable sufferings for Paul's sake, for your sake, and for mine. We ought to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, because it too will help us endure. It'll help us endure as we suffer for the gospel. And we can suffer without going to prison, although this happens regularly in other parts of the world. When you do suffer because of what you believe, what you proclaim, when you are shunned by your friends, when you're rejected by your family, when you are spat on, when you are intimidated, we endure all things as we remember Christ, what he achieved for us, and what he himself endured for our sakes. Sure, our lives aren't as exciting as Paul's, nor as fraught with dangers, perhaps, as Paul's life was. But that's okay, because I suspect the same rule applies in the mundaneness of life, which probably describes most of our lives most of the time. Remembering Christ reorients us away from our present troubles or our present mundaneness or even our present busyness and to God's eternal salvation, helping us to endure the things that we endure, whether it be persecution because of our faith or whether it be the countless of other troubles and pains that life can bring, or whether it just be life, the mundaneness of life. Remembering Christ helps us to endure life now. Paul remembers, and so Paul endures. Note, though, that he endures for the sake of others. Look at verse 10, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Remembering Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, the basis of our salvation, helps us endure and endure with purpose. It's not just endurance for endurance's sake. It's endurance for the sake of others, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We remember for the sake of for members of our family who have not yet come to know Christ. We remember for the sake of our neighbours who say they want to come to church but never do. We remember for the sake of the people who were lost in the city, whether they lost in greed or in poverty. We remember for the sake of our children. We remember for the sake of our teachers, our peers or colleagues. We remember for the sake of the millions, the billions of people who have not yet heard that Jesus Christ died for them, that they, through faith, may obtain salvation, eternal glory. And remembering Jesus Christ assures us of enjoying that eternal glory, life after death. Look at verses 11 to 13 with me. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, not everything in these few verses is future-oriented, but predominantly it is. And commentators have long thought that these few verses to be part of an early Christian hymn or a poem. And the first phrase expresses one of the greatest Christian truths. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Believers in a most extraordinary way share in Jesus' death and in his resurrection. Paul explains a little more as to what this means in his letter to the Romans. So I just wonder whether we can turn back there for a moment. Romans chapter 6. If you have a pew Bible, then you can find that on page 1131. Romans chapter 6, page 1131. And in Romans 6, Paul explains, or he teaches, that Christians are united with Christ, specifically in his death and in his resurrection. Look closely at verse 5 of chapter 6. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Again, in verse 8, for if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Believers are united with Christ, not only in his death so that the penalty of sin has been paid, but in his resurrection so that we can live with him. Elsewhere in the New Testament, New Testament speaks of Christ being the first fruits. Christ was the first to rise from the dead, but the first of many more to come. Returning to 2 Timothy. Why ought we remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead? Because remembering Jesus' resurrection assures us of our future resurrection. And so we endure and we persevere to that end, that we too may reign with him. Now, I've got to be honest, as a Christian, I think more about submission. I think more about living a peaceful, even obscure life. I think more about those things than I do about reigning, about ruling. So what is Paul on about when he says reigning? Might reign with him. Well, if you cast your eyes back to verse 8, the beginning of our passage this morning, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. Why ought we remember that Jesus Christ was descended from David? Why? Well, David was Israel's second and arguably greatest king. All the way back in 2 Samuel 7, God promises David that he will establish his throne, his kingdom, forever. God promises a king whose reign will be forever. And the great fulfillment of the New Testament is that Jesus is that king. Jesus is the king. And such is our union with Christ, that we too will reign over the new creation as was God's original intention back in the garden. Such is our union with Christ. But Paul's next if clause, if we disown him, he will also disown us, is a very real warning. Jesus says much the same thing in Matthew 10, when Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Why ought we remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David? Because surely our constant remembering of him will guard against our denying of him. Surely our constant remembering of him will guard against our denying him. Heard a story on the radio not long ago of a woman who was about to sleep with a man other than her husband. And as they were driving to his place, she heard a song on the radio, a song that reminded her of her husband. And she immediately left and went home, where she confessed to what she had nearly done, and in time there was forgiveness and reconciliation. You see, memory doesn't stay up here. Memories, when remembered, powerfully impact our actions, our thoughts, and our words. And by constantly remembering Christ, we will constantly guard against our denying him. We won't be perfect. But look at verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I wonder how those few lines make you feel. I've always found these words to be incredibly comforting, yet it could probably be read two different ways. The fact that God's character is unchanging may well be a warning to Timothy and to us. God's faithfulness, when we are faithless, could simply be his faithfulness to his warnings and to his judgments. Is it a warning? Is it a comfort? Well, yes. God is faithful in his judgment. He will disown us if we disown him. But God is also faithful in his saving. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. He is just. And he is merciful and gracious. So returning to our original question, what is worth committing to memory and what can I afford to forget? Well, it would seem you cannot afford to forget Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Surely the most significant moment in your life is when you came to believe that Jesus Christ not only died for you, but rose again. And if not, then perhaps you've forgotten. Perhaps you've forgotten that Jesus' resurrection guarantees your resurrection. That Jesus' resurrection means he's alive and he's reigning as king. This is worth committing to memory. It is worth it because not only will it allow you to endure life now, but it will also assure you of enjoying the life to come. Amongst the unavoidable information overload we experience on TV, in our workplaces, in our classrooms, even here at church, what sort of things may trigger our memory, this particular memory of Jesus' resurrection? Ever wonder why preachers bang on about the importance of reading the Bible and spending time in prayer? These things are certainly very effective, perhaps the most effective way of remembering all of what Christ has done for you. Yet there are countless of other ways. Other ways to trigger your memory. And I encourage you over morning tea, over lunch with your families to share some ideas. How will you remember this? How will you remember that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Some time ago, my wife Miriam purchased a Christian colouring book, an adult Christian colouring book, and it's beautifully illustrated, and she's quite the artist, and they end up looking magnificent, looking beautiful. And each page features a Bible verse. And we're keen to stick them around the house as constant reminders for ourselves as we get up in the morning, as constant reminders for people who visit our home of what we believe. How will you remember when life gets the better of you, when age gets the better of you? Remember Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This memory ought to take pride of place. We can afford to forget facts like how many books there are in the Bible. We can afford to forget who won that game and by how much. We can afford to get a whole range of things. You can even afford to forget most of this sermon. But you cannot afford to forget Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Let me pray for us. Father God, help us this week to remember, and remember well, so that our lives are constantly impacted by what you've done for us on the cross, and especially what you've done for us in your resurrection. Amen.